The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the Gospel of the Lord. So after worship service one Sunday morning, a little boy came up to Pastor and tugged on his robe and said, "Pastor, when I grow up, I'm going to give you some money." Pastor laughed and said, "Well, thank you, but why?" The little boy smiled sweetly at the pastor and said, "Because my daddy says you're one of the poorest preachers we've ever had." I hope to never hear that, by the way. Okay, so why do we give? Why do we give? Why do you give?
For the exact same reason you're bought,
because it brings joy. It brings joy. What kinds of groups or organizations do we give to?
Union Gospel
the Union Gospel Mission.
Habitat for Humanity.
Habitat for Humanity.
The Food Bank.
The food bank.
Rebuilding Thurston County.
Pardon me? Rebuilding Thurston County.
Grunewald Guild.
Sophie School Project. And what moves us to give to specific groups or organizations?
They help others.
They help others. Okay.
They are in need.
Because they are in need?
To give like Jesus gave.
To give like Jesus gave? Okay. A general concept understood by fundraisers is that to be moved to give, people want to hear a story. You want to hear a story about how a life is changed, that that their contributions or their gifts will make a real, actual difference. And usually when we give to groups and organizations, we're careful about it. We try to be wise about it. Before we give, we often research about how much money goes to an organization's overhead and how much actually goes to the work of helping people. We like to see pictures. We like to see stories. We want to see progress. We want to see proof that our gifts are actually making a difference. And today in our gospel, Jesus is talking about giving. But this fundraising is not exactly the kind of giving that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about more the joy of giving, about giving in faith, giving as a sacred, holy act. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And then immediately after he says, "Sell your possessions and give alms." And alms are kind of a fancy term for money or goods that are given to people in need. So what is this Christ-like, this Jesus-giving look like? I think that we can complicate this holy giving a whole lot, but I think it really means something very simple. So I'd like to share two examples today. First is a true story of something that happened about 40 years ago when I was 9 or 10 years old. It's not a story of selling possessions, but it is a simple story about giving that was sacred. So one Sunday morning, my family was leaving church, and our church had a parsonage on the edge of its property. As we drove by the parsonage on our way out, the front door opened, and as the front door opened, smoke came billowing out of the parsonage, and so did the pastor's wife, Mrs. Fosh, carrying a smoking pot that she set on the sidewalk. My dad stopped the car, and he got out, and he asked her if everything was okay. Well, apparently, in between services, somebody went home to turn down the oven. But instead of turning the oven down, they turned the broiler on high. So Sunday dinner, which Mrs. Fosh had made extra special because it just so happened that Sunday the district president, who's kind of like the equivalent to our bishop, was visiting and was going to go to the parsonage after church, after he met with the church council, for dinner. She was close to tears. She knew she didn't have enough time to run to the store and prepare something else. So my mom and dad looked at each other, and my dad kind of shrugged his shoulders a little bit. My mom smiled, and then my dad turned to Mrs. Fosh and said, "You know, we put a big roast in the crock pot last night. It's ready to eat, and there's plenty for all of you. We're going to go home and bring it back for you." Well, at first, Mrs. Fosh protested, but then she admitted she didn't know what else she was going to do. She didn't have time to make something else. So my dad said, "I'll be back in about 30 minutes. And so Mrs. Fosh went into the parsonage to put on potatoes, and we headed home. You know how good a roast beef smells when you walk in the house after having been away. We opened our door, and that wonderful, delicious smell of roast beef greeted us. We all watched as my mom unplugged the crock pot, wrapped it in a towel, put it in a box, and handed it to my dad. She handed me a coffee cake she had made the day before, and out into the car, my dad and I went. Well, when we rang the parsonage doorbell, Mrs. Fosh opened the door. We were greeted by her thankful tears and that horrible smell of charred food. I'm sure my dad and I drove home with silly grins on our faces, and our family kept grinning that silly grin as we ate tuna fish sandwiches around the dining room table. We knew that something significant had happened. We didn't just provide dinner for our pastor and the district president. We got a glimpse of something that was really holy. We experienced God. We experienced that sacred joy of giving in love, of giving something really good. In her book, Traveling Mercies, Anne Lamott, who is white, tells about when she first started going to St. Andrew's, which is an African-American Presbyterian church in Marin County, California. She says she was broke, an alcoholic, single, and pregnant. "When I was at the end of my rope," she writes, "the people at St. Andrew tied a knot for me and helped me hold on." When she announced that she was pregnant, the congregation cheered for her and immediately began giving her things: food, clothes, and most importantly, the assurance that this baby was going to be a part of a family. They also began slipping her money. She writes about how many of the older women living close to the bone on small social security checks, would sidle up to her and stick bills in her pockets. It was always done so stealthily, she writes, that you might have thought they were slipping me cocaine. Mary Williams, who at the time was in her 80s, was one of the most regular donors, giving Anne plastic baggies full of dimes. Anne needed the money, so she eventually got over her embarrassment at receiving and learned to say thank you. What she finds remarkable years later is that although her financial situation changed considerably, I mean, she's a famous writer, Mary Williams still brings her baggies full of dimes, still slips them discreetly in her pockets, even though Anne doesn't need them anymore, and even though Mary probably does. Anne's situation has changed, but Mary hasn't. Mary hasn't changed at all. She still has that giving heart. Anne says she often leaves the money, or gives the money away, or leaves the money scattered throughout her house as a reminder. As a reminder of the character of the church that she's learned to call home. A reminder of the character of the very God that they worship. This is that kind of holy giving that Jesus is talking about. Godly, sacred, joyous giving. Giving with no obvious end. Giving not to fulfill a goal or actualize a vision or build a kingdom or even, dare I say, to save a soul. Giving for no obvious reason other than the fact that it's just what we do. Giving that is our way of life because it's God's way of life. Giving that reflects that generous and joyous character of God. Jesus reminds us today that giving in whatever ways we can, in whatever ways we do, is important. It's very important, not just because it helps someone, but also because it changes us, the giver. It reminds us of who we are, that we are created in the image of a giving and generous God. It reminds us of who God is and who we are called to be. It puts our hearts in tune with the very heart of God. It is God's pleasure to give. Isn't it funny how this is how God uses God's power? To give. To give us the kingdom. To share. We are constantly invited to see and hear and taste and smell and touch. To experience the grace of God, that kingdom of God, that God reigns with joy and generosity and love and grace. Are we ready to receive it? To say thank you and to share it? Put your hands on your hearts. Go ahead, put your hands on your hearts. And I want you to feel your heartbeat. May your heart continue to beat in tune with the very heart of our gracious God. And keep your hand there, because I really liked the prayer of the day today, and I want to share that again. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may receive you wherever you are. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.